Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, and it's everyone's favorite day of the week. It is a Ferg Friday, as Justin Ferguson with the Auburn Observer joins us. Happy Ferg Friday. Wow. Happy Ferg Friday, friend. What's going on?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm good, dude. I am good. All right, so we're recording this before Thursday night's NBA draft, so that's why we're not talking about it. We'll touch on that next week. But what did happen is Auburn now has a another gold medalist. Were you able to watch Suni Lee at all, or at least follow that? I know a big chunk of the Auburn beat was kind of live tweeting, and I wasn't able to watch it, but sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I caught the very end of it, the floor routine. I mean, it's super exciting. I mean, the fact that Auburn's got the top athlete in a sport coming to their school. I mean, you've never been able to say that ever. And few people have ever been able to say that. And few teams have ever been able to say that. But yeah, the best gymnast in the world is coming to Auburn.
She's 18. And that's just an amazing thing to think about.
And so it's going to be interesting to see. Jeff Graba said on Thursday that she is enrolled and, you know, the plan is for her to compete. NIL kicking in right now is a huge deal because, you know, back before this, you would have to go pro and that would be it for you basically. Mm-hmm. But it's wild. And I think she's going to be a real fascinating test case study for NIL because her social media following has just exploded over the last week. And her
Instagram is at 610,000. I think I checked at lunch earlier today. I wish I would have checked to see what it was before the Tokyo stuff started. I would have loved to have known how much it shot up. I'm sure it went up a ton today.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. I mean, and I'll be very interested to see how Auburn handles all of it and the attention. Gymnastics, they sold out of lower level seats for season tickets.
So cool.
Thursday. And right before we started recording, I just went back and checked, and the upper level, most of the spots now you can only just get single tickets just because of the demand.
I mean, yeah, after that happened, I saw a lot of folks on Auburn Twitter saying all right, I'm now a season ticket holder for Auburn Gymnastics. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Yeah. And that it was already the third most attended sport at Auburn behind football and basketball, obviously. And so it's like, wow, that's definitely going to be the case now. I mean, people are going to travel a long way to see her. The greatest gymnast in the world is going to be at Auburn Arena. That is crazy. Yep.
And Auburn's got a really good, if I remember correctly, they've got a really good schedule this year, home schedule in gymnastics. I believe Bama comes here, and I think Florida does as well. Gotcha. It's a good rotation for sure. And I mean, if you've never been to a gymnastics meet, they're a lot of fun. Yeah. I would say that was some of the most fun I've ever had covering a beat is when I was in college and I did gymnastics for a spring. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun and it is really incredible. I mean, watching it on TV is amazing, but when you're in the actual arena and you can kind of get a little bit better scale of what they're doing, you'll be blown away. They are some of the most phenomenal athletes on the planet.
There's no question about it. No question about it. So congratulations to Suni Lee. Absolutely incredible. And it was cool to celebrate that with her Thursday morning. Justin, I had a really, I thought it was an interesting conversation yesterday with our friends from the War Report. And I think you have a partnership with them as well. I think you do some stuff with those guys. They do a good job, but we were talking about the versatility of the defensive backfield and how interesting it is to, you know, talk about how, okay, you know, a guy like Nehemiah Pritchett could play inside, whether it's, you know, that inside slot nickel or you could scoot him outside. You know, Donovan Kaufman could do multiple things. I mean, there's very few of these defensive backs that are pigeonholed into a specific spot. What do you anticipate the process over the course of the fall, you know, in preparing for the season, How do you do that? Do you just rotate guys in a ton if you're Derek Mason? Is that how that works until you say, okay, this is the right combination?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Derek Mason's one of those guys that in certain situations he's going to want to have, you know, this nickel out here against this team, or maybe this nickel out here against this formation or this, you know, personnel grouping compared to maybe another one. And when they go dime, it's a different guy for different spots. I think when you look at the way he's coached defenses in the past, a guy can start at a position, but that doesn't mean he has to stay there the whole game. And so I think there's going to be a lot of that versatility in cross training. You're going to see a lot of disguises, coverages. You're going to see a lot of blitzes, and you're going to see guys moving around all over the place. So I think when you practice it, you just kind of say, hey, you know, we feel once you kind of master knowing what you need to be and where you need to be for this position, all right, let's move you to another one we're looking at with you. And then from there, it's just, I think it's going to be kind of each week building a game plan and saying, okay, this is our best combination against what this other team has, or this is the best combination we've got against this certain personnel that they like to use. So, I mean, there's an obsession, of course, with the starting lineup in college football, because that's what we, you know, we kind of, that's kind of the mindset we have.
That's how we tier it off, right? Like, you know, if you're start, you're, you know, this tier. If you're just a role player, you're this tier of athlete and all that. But that's a little unfair for sure.
Right, right. And when you look at snap counts and stuff like that, I mean, Kevin Steele would say it all the time. We feel like we have about 16, 17, 18 starters. And when you look at the snap counts, that's kind of more like it. So yeah, I mean, there will be a lot of focus on who starts at corner, who starts at the safety spots, who is the more regular nickel. But the way this defensive backfield is shaping out, I mean, you can see, I think you're going to see 7, 8, 9, 10 guys, you know, actually contribute at a pretty high level for them.
Which of the defensive backs do you think is like, okay, you're kind of stuck in this one spot, like McCreary and Smoke? And then, you know, we looked at the PFF numbers yesterday. It seems like Jalen Simpson's going to primarily be just an outside guy. Are all the other guys pretty much interchangeable, or, you know, they could at least play, you know, one or two spots, or I guess two or three spots?
Jayshon Miller is probably going to be an outside corner. I don't see him kicking inside very often. Okay. But yeah, most of those guys that are safeties and nickels who have had at least a little bit of experience playing on the inside are very versatile and can move around. I think Smoke's got some moving around to him as well.
Where would Smoke move to?
Just kind of the variations of the two safety spots. I think you're going to see a lot of mixing and matching back there. And, you know, it might be a situation where sometimes you see him roll down all the way into the box and kind of line up like a linebacker, you know, kind of like what they did with Jamie in the past. I think you're going to see some of that as well. But that crew of Donovan Kaufman and by Darius Knighton and Ladarius Tennyson. Mm-hmm. And now we see it a little bit more, Nehemiah Pritchett, Zion Puckett, those guys. A lot of mixing and matching you can do with them.
Man, I keep forgetting about Zion Puckett. I keep forgetting about it, and it's not fair because it sounds like he is really, really impressing this new coaching staff. It seems like every time you bring up him, I'm like, dang it, I never talk about him. I totally forget about him all the time.
Well, he was banged up during the spring, so it's not like we got to see him a ton, but what he was able to do, even with the injury, coming back from that, it impressed coaches enough that I've heard a good bit about him this offseason.
No, that's good to know. That's good to know. Justin Ferguson, our guest today. Today's show brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Very, very cool. Head over to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. That's at built.com. Jay Ferg, what has been happening lately at the Auburn Observer and how can folks sign up for it?
Yeah, this week we had a breakdown of Damari Alston on Monday. I ran through pretty much every scenario for scheduling if Oklahoma and Texas end up joining the SEC, as they will. Right. What that means for Auburn schedules. I wrote a story on Thursday about Bo Nix and kind of the pre-snap warfare that goes on and when you're trying to be a quarterback under Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo, and how that can make him better overall. Mailbag up today, a couple podcasts during the week as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're about to hit full speed with camp starting next week. So auburnobserver.com, $6 a month, $60 a year. Get you all signed up, and everything we do, either writing-wise or podcast-wise, get sent to your email inbox. And, yeah, it's a perfect time to sign up right now because things are going to be coming pretty quickly once practices start.
I think it was last weekend's podcast, y'all's breakdown of the buffet at CC's specifically. That was that was pretty elite stuff, if I must say so myself.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, Painter wanted to go, so we checked it out.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We're trying to get him to sponsor us, I guess.
I love that. I love that. Let's go back to Damari Austin. And your breakdown of him was super, super insightful, as your breakdowns typically are. But this is a guy that the more I watch, the more I'm like, this guy's a stud. This guy is a dude. Like, I mean, he's ready to go right now, and he's got another year of high school football to go. I mean, he can do everything, and he does it all well.
He does it really well, and he's not a burner. He's not, you know, he doesn't have this speed that, or even like, crazy numbers at the high school level where you're just like, oh my God. But when you watch him on film, it's just that consistent, like he's going to be that dude where his style in the SEC, I think, is going to be the guy that's like, man, he's going to be just hard to tackle. And one of the things that stands out to me about him is for his age, he is extremely good at keeping balance. He's hard to tackle because you can kind of bump him and he's strong enough to kind of keep, you know, keep everything stabilized and keep his feet moving. So you'll watch highlights of him and he's breaking 4, 5, 6 tackles in a play because, you know, he's hard to kind of knock down. He's got great size for somebody his age. And yeah, I mean, I think when you look at, Brian Harsin in this offense, what they want to do is, they want to get downhill. They want to run the ball. They want to play power football and play off of that. And when you watch him on film, you see a dude who loves absorbing contact and keep on ticking. So he looks like a guy that's going to fit right in to what they're building with Tank, what they've had with Sean Shivers. And then also, I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities between him and what they got out of Jordan Ingram, picking him up from Central Michigan.
It seems like for the first time in forever, Auburn has really quality depth at the running back position. I like their situation this year. They've really fixed that. And then I like it next year. And even like after Tank is gone, it's like, okay, they've got several years now to build up depth. And we're talking 3 seasons from now. And Auburn fans hadn't really had that in a while.
Yeah, Jarquez Hunter as well. I mean, everything you hear about Jarquez Hunter is that he's done an excellent job in workouts this summer as a guy that's already standing out and getting the attention of his coaches and his teammates. And He was a freak at the high school level in the state of Mississippi. You know, I mean, you don't break records, you know, like that without being really, really good. And I mean, it might not be, like I said, the same thing here with Austin. He might not be the fastest dude at these camps. He might not be the strongest. He might not play for the biggest team in the world. So, you know, not a 5-star running back, but man, the production is really, really a good sign for when you're trying to build this kind of core on the offensive side of the ball.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jay Ferg, I mean, you talked about Bo Nix. I haven't been able to read this article yet. It's flagged in my inbox, but I'm going to get to it soon. But you talked about Bo Nix diagnosing things before the snap, and the previous administration's offense kind of drew criticism with you know, how little of that happened pre-snap. Is that going to be a big adjustment for Bo Nix? It seems like that will play into his favor. I mean, we hear all the time how much of a football junkie Bo Nix is. It seems like that could benefit him.
Yeah, it does. I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, kind of was born to play quarterback, and he studies the game a lot. He's always asking questions, which was one thing that stood out to both Harsin and Bobo when they arrived at Auburn. And so Bo, I mean, like, we know he's got the athleticism. We know he's got the arm. It's just about the consistency. And the Brian Harsin offense, his whole thing about coaching quarterbacks, he says, look, it's all about winning the pre-snap. You have to be elite before the snap to have any chance to be elite after the snap. And Bo's got the, you know, the instincts and the ability to be a really good quarterback. But I think some of the inconsistency issues we've seen from him is the fact that, you know, he would get to a play and might not have very many answers there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, wouldn't be able to trust that, okay, if this happens, here's what I need to do with it. This offense is going to be different. This offense is designed to give you plenty of answers. And so it's demanding. It's very mentally demanding where it's like, all right, instead of, you know, instead of like in a Gus Malzahn scheme where you know, a passing play might have just only one or two options off of it. And it's about being, I mean, I've called the Malzahn offense in the past when it worked, it was lethal simplicity, where it was, we're running it faster than you and we know what you're going to be in and we're going to be able to attack you that way. But when right. defense is adjusted to pace, it goes away. So it's very mentally demanding when you get into this offense and it's like, all right, it doesn't mean enough to know what the play is and like where guys are going. It's that if A happens, you do B. If C happens, you do D. If, you know, scenario Q comes up where this one guy just doesn't block anybody, what do you do there? And so you've got to know all the answers. And I think Bo Nix is a smart enough quarterback and a guy with good enough reaction and instincts to get that. It's just going to be an adjustment. It's mm-hmm. going to be an adjustment for sure. But he has put in a lot of work this offseason to make sure that he's one of those guys that can be more like a pro level quarterback and what he reads and reacts to. And winning the pre-snap is so big for them.
How do you think that's going to impact the offensive line? I mean, is a guy like Nick Broms going to typically make those calls pre-snap? Does Harsin and Bobo typically give their center that ability to do that, especially a guy like Broms who's been a starter for a long time?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of communication there with your center and the quarterback.
Yeah.
Just diagnosing what's going on. I think also taking snaps from under center. Bo was talking about how, you know, your eyes are up the whole time
mm-hmm.
when you do that. And that's a different way of looking before the snap.
Interesting.
So it's one of those things where it is an adjustment, but he said, you know what? I really like taking snaps under center. I feel like it makes me a better quarterback, you know, getting this kind of work. So, yeah, I think having a guy like Broms in the center of that offensive line to be able to diagnose things and help him out, they've already got that connection from the last two seasons, is going to be very helpful. And then it's just there, I think, trusting the guys in front of you to make plays and trust your protection, stand in there and make throws. He talked about how one of the things he wants to improve on the most is making tough throws in the pocket. But trust your protection. And then whenever the protection does break down and when it isn't there, you already know where to go with the ball. You already have the answer. And I think we saw some of that in the spring game. There were a couple of plays like on third downs where Nix would kind of read something before the snap, see a blitz coming, and he'd take the snap and immediately know where to go with the ball.
Right.
This is an offense that, you know, Bo Nix has a lot of time to throw when you look at like PFF numbers and stuff like that. And it's because he scrambles a lot. And so I think this offense is going to be a little bit more kind of quick trigger for him whenever they have those situations like that. But then also when they do have protection somewhere where he can make, you know, full field reads and work through his progressions.
Yeah, and that's the scheme side of it is what I think is going to change this offense the most. I mean, a lot of people are looking at the offensive line, and it's like, well, they weren't super great last year, and it's the same guys, and it's like, I think there's going to be a lot of pieces that benefit from the scheme just because I think the coaching staff is going to help put guys into situations where they can succeed. I mean, you look at the lethal offenses like, you know, Oklahoma the last several years, even, you know, LSU a few years ago with Joe Burrow, and, you know, what Alabama's done the last few seasons. Sure, they have ridiculous athletes and super talented players and, you know, all that. But these guys, they're wide open a lot of the time. And sure, their ability to run routes and their speed and their quickness is great. But the scheme is helping these guys a ton. And I think Auburn mm-hmm. has the talent to capitalize on this stuff. And I think if, you know, coach properly, I think Bo Nix is going to know, you know, okay, in theory, this guy should be open if they're in this look and, you know, this, that, and the other all the way down the line. And that's what I'm most pumped about.
Yeah, it's going to take time. I mean, mm-hmm. the youth at wide receiver is kind of the big, I won't say red flag, but it's the big question mark for this offense this year. Like, how quickly do these guys develop? Because every time you talk to anybody on the coaching staff about the wide receivers, it's like, okay, yeah, we have a lot of work to do. And it's they're young and they are inexperienced for the most part. So if you do that and you've got a quarterback who's trying to learn with this new system and your offensive line's trying to, you know, adjust to a new scheme as well, you know, it's going to be a work in progress. This year one is not going to be the, you know, the ultimate sign of how well this offense can play, I should say, moving forward. But I think the ultimate thing Auburn fans want to see this season is that the offense has signs of life and signs of, okay, well, with more time, this will look, even right. better.
Yeah.
And so I think that that could come out the most in the passing game with the way they want to coach.
You're listening to Locked On Auburn. Justin, a final few minutes here. You have any thoughts on Auburn basketball's SEC slate as far as the home and the way and all that? I know folks are, you know, speculating about Kentucky at home, on the road mm-hmm. at Knoxville, on the road at Gainesville is one that I'm looking at. Any anything about that that stood out to you?
I thought it was a pretty favorable haul for Auburn.
Good.
That it could have been a lot tougher. The home and home. So if you don't know, the you always play three of the same teams in a home and home every year. And currently in this format, it's Auburn plays Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss every year okay. in this format. So you pick up two home and homes. This year it's going to be Florida and South Carolina. South Carolina you'll take. That's probably going to be one of the lower tier teams in the SEC this year. Florida is going to be interesting. I think they're going to be kind of around that neighborhood, maybe a little bit behind Auburn. But, you know, there's a big wad of teams that have done a lot this offseason up there. You haven't won in Gainesville in a while, but you will take that because I think you would rather play at Gainesville this year than at Rupp Arena at any point in time, than at LSU, than at, you know, you do play Arkansas on the road. So I think you'll make that trade. You do go to Arkansas, you go to Tennessee. Those are going to be tough games, but getting Kentucky and LSU both at home, I think, is going to be big because I think those are going to be two ultra-talented teams in the league.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Auburn Arena will be bumping for that one. I can't remember a time Auburn's gone to Gainesville recently and looked good. That's my only concern.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. I think not even since Pearl's been around that they've had, you know, good games in Gainesville. So, I mean, it's probably been a long time since that. So, yeah, that's something they're gonna have to do. Tennessee on the road. I know a lot of Auburn fans would have loved to have seen Tennessee come here, especially with the Powell situation.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, Auburn's had a good track record against Tennessee, even in Knoxville. So I think that'll be an awesome game. And Tennessee's going to be really good again. They are very, very talented. And so is Auburn. I mean, I think, you know, you got Kentucky and Alabama and LSU and Florida and Auburn and Arkansas. I mean, those are all teams that I think are going to be challenging for some of the top spots in the SEC this year. And they're like, man, I ain't counting out an Ole Miss with the way they've loaded up this offseason as well. So, I mean, it's like more than half the league is going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a lot of fun.
No, it is. It is. SEC, the basketball conference. Jay Ferg, give us the details again, everything going on at AuburnObserver.com and how folks can sign up.
Yeah, AuburnObserver.com. Sign up there. $6 a month or $60 a year. It emails straight to you three or four times a week for stories, a couple of podcasts as well. You can check out our podcasts for free, the ones we do on the weekends, wherever you listen to your podcast, just search Auburn Observer. And we've got mailbag, a bunch of breakdowns, more recruiting stuff hopefully next week, more basketball, more schedules, and then we'll be talking about actual football practice.
Yes, fall camp is so close. Thank you so much, Jay Ferg. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
We will be back on Monday to break down everything that happened over the weekend. Probably some recruiting stuff, like Justin said. Follow me on Twitter at ZBlackerby, show on Twitter at Locked On Auburn, and on Instagram at Auburn Podcast. See you Monday. Nope, there's a special podcast tomorrow, so tune into that right here on Locked On Auburn.